Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 676. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
This intro brought to you by Microsoft, a company that all gamers love and adore.
The people's choice, the people's chance.
No. Earl is here as well.
And I would just say to state on the record that I was also not the orange turd that Stormy Daniels was referring to in her tweets.
Good. That is good to know. I'm glad that you are not the orange turd in those comments. It's been a week, guys. This is like another special Xbox podcast. I think we've done like three of these this year already. It's only May. Cause like this shit went on fire when rumors started happening that they might be putting their stuff on other systems. Then we did another one after they kind of clarified all that. I thought there was another one somewhere in there. There might have been, but yeah, shit's gone bad again. Xbox PR wise.
I don't know. Go ahead,
Earl.
It's been a great week for them. It's fantastic PR.
All PR is good PR or something. Exactly.
Sure. So they kicked off Tuesday by announcing that they were closing down four Bethesda studios. Arcane Austin, whose last game was Redfall. Tango Gameworks, whose last game was Game of the Year contender, Hi-Fi Rush. Alpha Dog Games, who was a mobile developer. And Roundhouse Studios, which I don't know if they ever released a game or not. All these four studios have been closed down and or merged into other existing Bethesda studios. It's, you know, we don't know the reasoning behind it. Like they're never going to reveal that. But
I mean, we can guess for most of these.
Hazard a guess. I can probably guess like close to 70 billion different reasons.
Sure.
Who knows? But yeah, it's not a great look when you just spent the better part of, 3 years batting this merger to death. I mean, it is. I'm not going to say it is what it is. It's a terrible, horrible thing. But yeah, they have, at some point, you have to like recoup those costs from buying Activision. And as we've learned in all types of mergers, the fastest way to do that sometimes is to just sell stuff, which is ironic because that's what they're doing. So the other way is to just close it so you don't have that overhead. And also not great.
Yeah. But I mean, some of these studios were frankly not doing good work. Like, yeah. Studio that made Redfall, like, that is a shit game that they spent a long time on. And one of the things that Microsoft has done with all these studios they purchased is give them, like, a lot of leeway.
Which
like,
I think
to do their own work and do their own stuff and be creative. And then they came out with whatever the fuck Redfall was. Like, that studio's last good game was, 2017?
I mean, so they've only officially ever released two games under Austin proper. They worked in conjunction with Arcane Lyon, which is in France. They worked on Dishonored and stuff. But yeah, Prey and Redfall were their first, I believe, like solo studio games.
Well, what I would say, and just to kind of, you know, good or bad games, that is whatever. I do, you know, I guess you have a certain standard of quality that you need to maintain.
Yes.
But I don't think like one bad game should be the end of a company. At the same time, and this, you know, this can go either way. I know people feel both ways about it. is that Microsoft is the publisher. I think there is a certain level of freedom you can give these people, but at the same time, you do like it does seem like they like I think their hands-off approach has not really bared fruit in the way that it should on paper. It's like you buy these best-in-class studios, you let them do their thing, but you give them so much attitude that I mean. You know, like you look at Bethesda. I mean, Perfect Dark was announced how long ago? We've seen nothing of that. Even when
we're going to talk about Perfect Dark.
But like all of these games that get announced, or these projects that get announced, and like the studios, you know, like Halo Infinite, like they had to like reclassify the developers to focus mostly on multiplayer after they end the game an entire year, and it's still, you know, like. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I think we all had fun with it. It's just like, it's not where they wanted it to be. And I think at some point, the onus, and I mean, to be fair, I think part of that is what came out in their statement is they were like, we've bought so many studios. We realized we were being ran thin and controlling them. And that is fair to a degree, but okay, also.
I want to go back though. I want to disagree with something you said right at the beginning.
Okay.
Which is that I don't think a studio should be discontinued after releasing one bad game. Okay, they spent 5 years working on Redfall. Like, if the fruit of your 5 years is something that they can't sell at market because it sucks so bad, like, how long is Microsoft supposed to sit and foot the bill
for this studio? You're not wrong on that, Tony. But then there's all the reports about how like they were like that game was forced on them. That was not like that was from Bethesda leadership. We want a live service game. They were not a live service studio. Like they had never made a live service game before, and. Then when you know, I mean, you have all the little reports of like, hey. When Microsoft bought, they were like, hey, great. They're going to come in and go, I know this sucks, man. Cancel this shit. And they were like, yep, continue on. Do as you do, Bethesda. And then this shit game came out from a studio that has no experience making multiplayer shooters. People at the top of Bethesda don't get hurt by that.
I mean, but again, like, you spent 5 years making this game. What staff do you have at that point after, like, you know, retooling your entire studio to make this game, to make something else, to make something like you made before, like all those people are gone.
Well, and Chris's point, like it's not like they were like, oh man, you know, we really, because again, it's a studio that was mostly known for single player adventure games. To be like, oh, we're going to make a live service multiplayer game was not, you know, it wasn't their process and their directive. And yes, and yes, spending 5 years and coming out with a bad game, that's, you know, that is. But again, because I guess based off of 5 years, it would have been right around when Microsoft bought Bethesda. But at some point, you have to step in as a publisher and be like, you know, there's a history of a ton of games that have not made it deep in development. And
right.
And as a publisher, don't you have a producer on hand going like, this isn't shaping up great, guys. Like, what are we doing here?
Now, this is where Microsoft makes the mistake. Like, they give them too much leeway. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you're spending all this time making a shit game, well, that game should have been canceled a long time ago. I also like, why are all of these publishers, it doesn't make any sense, when they have like successful studios that make single player games, and you saw it like with like the Arkham games, like Rocksteady moving on
which
to a live
get
service
to
game.
As well.
BioWare, same deal, like made a lot of great single player games. Let's make a live service multiplayer game, and that was a disaster. Like, why are publishers not noticing that this is bad? Like, your studios decide to make one type of game. Why are you making them make something else?
Everybody wants to chase the dragon, because at some point you're hoping that you're going to be the next big game in that field.
I get that, but like,
yeah,
why wouldn't you staff up with but why wouldn't you staff a new studio, right, or buy a studio, right, that like makes those types of games?
The people who, like, the thing is, the people who are running these studios aren't stupid. Like, they're not imbeciles.
I mean,
like, what causes them to make this horrible decision, which is obviously a horrible decision that will never work out well. It hasn't yet.
I think we know the answer to that, right? Shareholders come in and, like, you have a board of directors that goes, like, well, I hear Fortnite's the big thing. We need, yeah, to have a battle royale. I hear that, you know, Overwatch is the big thing. We need to have a hero shooter.
Yeah.
And so then that gets passed down to the CEO. The CEO goes, make it work, guys. And shit goes bad because it's not what that studio is designed to do.
Like, the opposite of making money. Let's do something that's not going to make money. I just.
Right.
And then, like, and a lot of the times when you're doing that, when you're even chasing that, it's just so far behind a trend. That,
right,
the game comes out, the industry, like, again, we'll probably get to it. Probably not. This is a very small thing in comparison for the rest of the week. But, like, there was that Sonic Rumble game that was announced this week for mobile. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what person was like, we need a Sonic Fall Guys game? Fall Guys, I think, kind of plateaued during the pandemic. I feel like more so than Among Us and Animal Crossing and all that other stuff. I feel like Fall Guy was very popular for like a month. And again, not saying that it's not, the people still don't play, but I don't feel like it's not the same level of fever it was in like August, September of 2020 when everybody's getting it for the first time. And just seeing like a Sonic Fall Guy, I'm like, one, this is awful, but two, why are you wasting resources on this? Sonic's a brand. You don't need to shoehorn him into a genre that really isn't really a genre. There's Fall Guys, and I don't think anything else has succeeded in that.
And even Fall Guys is kind of like, as you, yeah, said, falling off a lot. Like, it was hot for a minute, and then it's died off. Like, and I think Fortnite's really the only one. I mean, I guess like Apex kind of like did well, but it's a little bit different because it's a first person shooter. But like Fortnite, like, took like what was popular out of, what was it, PUBG?
Yeah.
Which was just blowing up, and like they pivoted Fortnite immediately and were able to get something out, but they were able to get it out still in the window of PUBG being like pretty hot.
And they were able to do something that I think is very hard to do. I think we've had this discussion around Mario Kart as well. PUBG had a lot of obvious chases where you can improve on, and that's what Fortnite did. There's not a lot of these other games, there isn't like that one gear, like, oh man, if we capitalized on this, if we made it simpler, if we made it easier, if we made it more accessible, if we made it more colorful, if we made it more grounded, if we made it more, like, throw money at it doesn't always work. I mean, it usually doesn't work. Because the other genre I think of, and again, all of this is like in the past, like, not even 10 years, maybe 8 years of the industry. Is like when we went very big into hero shooters after Overwatch.
Yeah.
And I'm almost certain like we could fill a grave out of all those games that came out to be the next Overwatch. Came out for like a year and then the servers were disconnected and nobody talks about it anymore.
Like, what was the game that came out? It came out like within a week of Overwatch. It was the Gearbox game. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, I don't even remember. When I was thinking of, I mean, there's a ton of them. I was thinking of Kiffy B did one.
Yes, he did Lawbreakers.
There was
Battleborn.
Okay,
you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like came out like within like a week of Overwatch and immediately died. Like, because Overwatch was the one everybody chose. There's only so many players to go around with these games.
Everybody wants to make a forever game now, but like the problem with making a forever game is like once we kind of find that forever game, I've played a shit ton of Fortnite. I've played no Fortnite clones because
Fortnite, you have Fortnite.
Yeah.
Great.
It's like, what are you offering me that I'm not getting here? I've invested money and time into this already, so I'm not gonna try your thing and like wait. It's always the same thing sometimes when people are like, oh, you know, like when this game first launched. Like, you know, it's I'm like, yeah, you can't compare yourself to when a game launched 5 years ago. You have to compare it to what the features it has now. And you're just not going to catch up with time and money. It's the same thing where people always talk about like how vanilla Destiny was. I'm like, yeah, But by the end of it, but Destiny 2, it's like, you can't come out and be like, oh, I'm going to be Destiny 1 now. Destiny is far beyond that. You're going to have to surpass Destiny, and that's a lot of money to get into that genre. So everybody's chasing these things. And again, and I mean, this isn't just a Microsoft thing, and Microsoft is the biggest example because like theater, but everybody invests money into these genres and these games where you don't have the expertise, you don't have the tech, which is probably why you end up spending 5 years making an online multiplayer shooter, is because that was none of that is in your warehouse.
Yep.
You have to figure out all of that. And I guess that was your point. It's like, yeah, find a team that's like, maybe knows how to make a shooter, or find a team that's really well into online games, not like force a team that does neither one of those things to then like, you have to do this genre.
And what's wild is like, you have teams that know how to make online multiplayer shooters within Bethesda. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like they know how to make shooters. They know how to make online multiplayer. Maybe not specifically this type of game, but like, it's probably a easier jump for them to make than a studio that makes immersive sims and like first person RPGs.
Yeah. It's insane. But that okay, that is Redfall.
Yeah, Tango, that's Arcane Austin. Tango Gameworks, yep.
That is a whole different beast because they released a critically acclaimed game. Literally just ported to a new system like a month ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah, it just came out on PlayStation. Yep.
Game of the Year contender. As far as we can tell, it wasn't a game that had a super long life cycle. It wasn't a ton of marketing because it's a surprise release. Microsoft praised it, and it's like, you're still killing on the studio.
So I have thoughts on that one, and there's a few. So that studio was founded by Shinji Mikami back in like 2010, 2011 or so. The creator of Resident Evil, it was his new studio. He was shortly thereafter, they ran into funding issues, were bought up by Bethesda, and they released like the Evil Within, Evil Within 2 with Bethesda. Shinji Mikami left 2 months after Hi-Fi Rush released. He didn't have much to do with Hi-Fi Rush, but because he, you know, he's studio head, he's not necessarily directing games. I do wonder if a guy with that much name value, though, leaves your studio. Like, are you able to bring talent in?
Right.
I get your point, but I do think, again, it's if it was like they released a dud, like the Sega guy with Balance Wonderland or whatever.
Right.
That's
right.
A different beast. But I think, you know, like, because the studio itself had just released a major game that was really well received, I think there's some crowd to like, oh, we have like this critically acclaimed game, we want to keep up that momentum, we can recruit off the back of it. We got the back end support of Microsoft, who's a major publisher. I mean, not a publisher. They're a console holder, one of three. It's like, you think, okay, there's a lot of, like, in theory, security there. Like, you could probably recruit off of that without just the one name.
But you're also a Japanese studio in a...
American.
Like, the studio is in Japan, and Xbox has no... There's no affinity for Xbox in Japan.
One way you could build up is like have a studio or two, but yes,
sure. Point. Like, I get what, but also like if you don't have the leadership there, I can see why you close them, even though it sucks because like you've been claiming for years you want to have a foothold in Japan. You had one. You have a studio that made multiple beloved games. Like, people love the Evil Within games. Hi-Fi Rush was a Game of the Year contender, and then you're like, we're gonna concede. Bye. Like, I get it on one level because like, hey, as a management thing, like, we don't have any other Japanese studios. It's really fucking hard to manage a studio that's halfway around the world, and we don't have anything else there. But also, it's a horrible fucking look.
It is, and I mean, like, to your point, like, you don't have it. But this is also how you build something. Like, right. You have to start somewhere. And this, like, to your point, this isn't a good hook. Like, I mean, between this and Scalebound, like, if you're a Japanese studio, are you going to make, oh, we want to partner with Microsoft because our game's going to be, either your game's not going to be released, or your game's going to be released, and it still isn't good enough for them to keep your studio alive. It's a very bad look. Hey, maybe they're just giving up on Japan. I mean, to be fair, I've seen the sales, it's probably wise. But maybe they're just like, you know what, we'll just money hat third party, you know, like Square and Capcom games. Like, we'll port Kingdom Hearts and Yakuza and getting stuff like that to our system. We don't need new original Japanese games, which is fair. I mean, the Japanese market wasn't big for them in the 360 in their golden era. It hasn't been big for them ever. So, you know, maybe that is a wise decision not to grow in that market. The only thing that confuses me, and maybe this was just like pure dollars and cents, why shutter it and not see if you could offload it to another, like a Japanese publisher?
Probably because it's just like they don't want to give up the IP that they own from them, Evil Within.
But you can sell the studio and keep the IP, as you've seen that time and time again.
Right, but I don't know, like, what's the value for, like, a studio that doesn't have its head?
Like I said, it could purely be a dollar and cents thing. I just got the impression, because, again, I could be wrong. I feel like social media is a very, you know, weird thing, especially in the day of this idiot.
Yes.
Where people were, like, some of people were, like, they were kind of finding out about this stuff when it was breaking on social media.
It was pretty shitty that, like, because they announced it here, like, what, it was like 9 or 10 a.m. We found out on Tuesday. Well, it's like 12, 13-hour difference in Japan. So if they're all finding out at the same time, like, they're finding out 9, 10 o'clock at night, like, that sucks. I don't know how you work that out.
I mean, I don't know about you folks. I think we've all been through that in some capacity. Like, you know, the only way to keep a secret is to tell nobody. So I've been through organizations where either there's a merger or there's acquisitions, removing or closing, whatever. Employees hear stuff, you know, it causes anxiety. You hear stuff through the grapevine. So maybe they just wanted to make it as painless as possible. I was just surprised they weren't like, oh, we'll shut it. Because as far as I can tell, all these just shuttered right away. There's no, like, you know, we'll keep them open through the end of June. And, you know, if we'll entertain offers until then or something like that. It was just,
yeah, like Arcane Austin was literally working on Redfall. Like, they were working on, like, I guess the May update for it when it ended. It's just dead. Like, there will be no more for that game. They just shuttered them immediately. Like,
R.I.P.
Pack your shit up and get out, I guess.
Yeah, there's no good way around it. It's not a good joke in general, but it also kind of sucks because, and they haven't said they're just going to this either, because I think Redfall had a season pass or something, or a Hero DLC, which was going to introduce new characters. And now Microsoft is just basically, we're going to have, like, a make good offer, but there's, like, no details or anything about that yet. It's just like, yeah, we just kind of announced this and your ass out of the air for now, but we'll make good on it at some point. Again, I don't think anything they've done this week has been a good joke for them. I'm not gonna be one of those people who sit here and I call for Phil Spencer's head. But I will echo some sentiments that I've heard, you know, I mean, most of this year is, like, at some point it does call into question
what's going on at Xbox? Why does this seem to keep happening?
Yeah, it kind of calls into question, because, I mean, like, the things that come out, people put up the interview with Sarah Bond from, like, 2006, from 2019 or something like that, talking about how they had to shut Lionhead after buying them after a decade, and all the lessons they earned from that, And then to have to show, you know, I think somebody's mentioned that they chose, I think the joke is they've chose more studios than released games this year so far.
That's probably true.
I mean, it's accurate. I don't think they've released anything this year yet.
I mean, they ported those games to PlayStation. So, I mean, if you want to be generous, they're 4 for 4.
Which is not the comparison you want to make.
And those are all ports. So.
Yes, and then it's stuff. I mean, and to be fair, I mean, Sea of Thieves apparently is doing very well in the PlayStation store. So good on Rare.
That's kind of the other thing here is like Hi-Fi Rush is not doing great over on PlayStation.
Which is odd to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would think it would be a game that people, like, it seemed to be a game people really loved, but.
Honestly speaking, and this goes into something different, and I don't want a console. It seems like, I mean, I know it's a power issue. It would have been more at home on something like the Switch or a Nintendo system. Because again, it very much feels like the spirit of like a Dreamcast game. And I do think a lot of that audience, and again, this is like 20 some odd years ago now. So I'm sure the audience has grown up and spit up. But I do feel like a lot of Sega fans became Nintendo fans because they had very similar philosophies. Where Microsoft and Sony have very similar philosophies, and it's kind of like the two divergent paths in how you design games. But neither here nor there, because, I mean, they were very keen to point out that these games are still for sale, but I mean, you're not supporting the studio anymore. So, yeah. It's like one of those anti-piracy things where it's like, yeah, you can pirate the hell out of the game now, because, you know, you're not taking money out of a port developer's mouth, because they're not getting anything.
So,
in piracy, but.
So we mentioned the Redfall DLC being canceled. So I'll skip over that. But following up on this, I guess there was a town hall that Xbox had. You know, town hall is normally like employees where you're getting updates from your leadership. Yeah. And Matt Booty, head of Xbox Game Studios, this is what, you know, reportedly came out of a quote that came out of that. Now, we don't have this direct, but I'm sure that like Microsoft employees leaked this out. And Booty reportedly told employees, "We need smaller games that give us prestige and awards," which is really fucking weird. Considering you just had a game that gave you prestige and awards.
And you eliminated the studio. Great.
Yeah. And like they are Tango, at least, like they've released two games in the last 3 years. They're a studio that was releasing games.
The irony of it too, that is the irony, but the other irony, I guess, is like part of the press release of them closing these studios is like, in order for us to better consolidate our focus on core. So like you're doing the opposite of what you're saying, because you are literally doing, we're going to
make
videos, we're going to focus on these core IPs. Like some of the people from Arcanine, Austin, are going to support other studios within the Bethesda family. So it's not that you are making like these great, it's like, oh, we want to make sure we have people like Doom and Wolfenstein and all that other stuff, and the next, Oblivion, or what do people actually call that franchise?
Which one? Elder Scrolls?
Yes, there we go. Yes, you want those you want those resources to focus on that. I assume some people are probably going to end up doing like, you know, Starfield DLC and content.
And I'm sure they're pushing some of these newly repositioned people into working on a Fallout game.
Yeah, it's no different than there was a video that came out this week from Gaming or something like that, that looked over like that Donkey Kong 3D game that was being worked on by Toys for Bob. I think that's the name of the studio. It's either Toys for Bob or Vicarious Visions, one of those two. Whoever made the Tony Hawk remake.
It was Vicarious Visions.
Vicarious Visions. And like they did this, you know, they were doing Skylanders. They did the Tony Hawk remakes. And they got rewarded by being support studios for Call of Duty. And they were like, oh, you got bought up by Microsoft. You think, no, it's still the same thing, which is why, you know, like something Toys for Bob was like, we're just going to buy an independent. But like, yes, it's very hard. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I know the answers. It's very hard to put the genie back in the bottle. But at some point, the industry has to like take stock of the fact that we can't keep having, like, you know, 300 people teams, $250 million budgets for games that need to sell 30 million to break even, or need to like continuously be supported for like 10 years by a core staff of a team. It's not been sustainable. It hasn't been sustainable for some time. And this year, I think, really has started to hit the nail on the head, because we've seen so many closures. We've seen so many game cancellations. We've seen so many. We've seen everything except for a gluttony of games. And ultimately, I think that's going to be the big turnoff. It's like, consumers, for the most part, are oblivious to these things. I mean, you know, we pay attention because we do this and we're part of the industry. Consumers are oblivious because once it starts getting to the point where it's like you're going weeks and months without major games, and it's going to be a very dire summer, I think we've all pointed out, that's when people start noticing, like, what's going on? Why do I have a PlayStation that I haven't played a game on? Why do I have an Xbox? And again, people don't think of excuses, but like, what is like the major, even third party game this summer?
It's the Elden Ring DLC. Like, that is the big thing for the summer. That's it.
And yeah, that's when it's going to start. Because then, what was I going to say? Historically, the industry hasn't grown, I think, since the HD generation. The numbers have moved around. You know, Sony sold more, Nintendo sold less, Nintendo sold more, Microsoft sold less, whatever. But the numbers have kind of remained pretty stagnant in the past 20 some odd years. If you exclude that mobile, at some point you need to start capturing a new audience. You need to start capturing people who, you need to somehow graduate kids from Roblox and Fortnite, or get adults who've never played video games into video games like they did with the Wii. And neither one of those are being captured by bigger games.
Yeah, and there's only so much time for people like us to play games, and there's only so much money for us to spend on them as well. Yeah. So
I have infinite money for games. I don't know about you. All the money in the world.
I'm glad, Tony. Glad that somebody at least has it all. I'm looking at the release calendar right now for June, July, and all the way up until the end of August. It is like the biggest thing is Elden Ring, and then Star Wars Outlaws right at the end of August. There's nothing big the rest of that time. Like there's, you know, there's a new Final Fantasy 14 expansion. Nintendo's gonna dump out a Luigi's Mansion 2 remake, Elder Scrolls expansion, but nothing, like no big game in between there.
There's like nothing of, and yes, it's across the industry. Like, I mean, again, indies will come and save us all, because I think Animal Well came out today, or coming out this week, and that's done like 90 something percent.
But Little again, Kitty Big City will save us. Yeah.
All right.
And again, I think those are games that I don't want to diminish them, but there are games that you have to be invested into gaming to kind of know about.
Yeah. My kids are super excited for that game. I'm not. Like, yeah.
Which is
good. I love cats, but you know, I don't want to walk around as a cat. That's really not that exciting.
it's you know, different.
Didn't we do that with Stray?
I was gonna say Stray, but Stray, I think, was trying. It was because that was a cyberpunk. Like, this is like a really cute. Like, I think that's gonna be the next phase of indie games. And we've seen a few of them at the Nintendo Indie World, and I think the State of Play. Like those kind of cozy, casual, like just mellow out and relax games. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be we're talking about video games right now. we have not hit the insanity of like the full blown election season yet, because there's going to be a ton of stress, anxiety, worries, nerves that I think we're all going to need a respite from. Fingers crossed it goes our way.
yes, please.
But yes, I think that I think Posey is kind of where people are going to go for a bit. But yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, the industry at some point needs to take a look in the mirror and realize, why am I quoting a Michael Jackson song? But needs to recalibrate the expectations. I mean, it's not just that. I mean, I think at some point, you're just not going to get people who are dropping $600, $700 on systems every 6 or 7 years. It's just not worth it at some point.
Especially when you could, I mean, I have friends that have not upgraded to, you know, PS5s or Series X's. Like, they're still perfectly content playing shit on their Xbox Ones and PS4s. And they'll upgrade when the new systems come out. Like, but not to the new systems, to the old systems.
Yeah. I had a friend who, I mean, it was so, I mean, I still have the friend, but it was so trippy. Because again, like, my head, like, we're so into it. He would literally do that. He would, like, wait until, like, near the end of the generation, pick up a system, and be like, oh, what's all the good games that I need to check out and play?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane. But that's actually genius. You don't have to wait, like, months on end for new games. You kind of have an idea of, like, everything that's worth it. It's a split with software, because there's going to be games that you can get dirt cheap. There's also going to be those games where it's like you're going to have to sell like a kidney to like find, because it's like it came off like 5 minutes and you missed that 5 minutes. So,
but now, like, as long as the games stay listed, like they'll hit a sale, like, you know, there'll be a digital sale on them, and you'll be able to get them like 4 times a year for dirt cheap there too, like.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea. It's just like if you are gonna, you know, we kind of follow the industry. We pay attention to what's coming out. We generally, you know, play quite a few new games over the course of the year. Like, it doesn't work for how we engage with the hobby, but yeah, it's brilliant for somebody that,
because we have infinite money for games, as we've
right. Yeah, that's true.
Infinite for games, but yes, I mean, and that is. I was going to say, I feel like, I mean, like, again, there are, I think we talked about this before, there are, you know, many, many classes of gamers. Like, I have those friends, I'm sure we all do, who literally, they have video game systems, and it's like, they have, like, their game, and that's it. Like, they would be that person who's like, they just get Call of Duty every year. I had friends, again, I don't know why I keep on saying had, I still have them. I have friends who literally, I would go to their house and it would literally just be Madden, NBA 2K for the year. Madden, NBA 2K. And that's their entire collection. And I'm like, how do you not just get curious about anything else? Like, I got what I have, and it takes me through the year. They just, you know, they pay the franchise, they pay the season mode. I'm like, you know, when I was younger, I used to just make, I kind of get it. You got your comfort, you got your escapism. You don't have time to earn a new game constantly. I mean, I guess minor spoilers. I played some more Evil West this week, and I hadn't played it in 2 weeks. And literally, like, the first hour was me, what the hell do all these buttons do? That game uses, like, every button on the controller in a variety of ways. And I'm just like, I do not understand what I'm supposed to be doing here. Because it uses every button, and then it uses the analogs, like the, I forget what they're called, like, I think on PlayStation they call it, like, R3 and L3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like, to press them in.
Yeah, and I'm like, I forgot that did something. All the shoulder buttons do something. Shoulder forward, shoulder back do something. Hold. I'm like, this is way too much. I can't, like, again, I'm taking another 2 weeks off of it, because I know I'm gone next week, and I play with my friend usually. I'm like, I'm going to have no idea what's going on in that game in 2 weeks again. And part of me wanted to quit because it's kind of annoying. And I can understand that when especially that it's not uniformed. Like, I feel like in my head, it's usually true. There's a certain language to gaming. Like, if you play a game and shoots not on right trigger, something's wrong with it. But like this one, like Mei's right bumper, and I'm so used to Mei being like the face buttons.
Yeah, I want to press square. that's a Dark Souls thing that is permeated to third person action, where they're using the bumpers for melee.
I did not like it. I did not find them.
Yeah,
I think they're fine casually, but using them to actually like, engage in something that like you basically have to button mash constantly, my old hands, I guess, just don't do that. I'm like half an hour and I'm like, oh, my fingers are just sore now. He's still his fingers on there. I'm like, no, give me those face buttons. They're there for a reason. They're very tricky, very easy to navigate with my thumbs. Yeah, no problem. The right bumper, no. Right shooting? Not a problem. But for some reason, those bumpers, for the life of me, that's not work.
Let's see what else I got here. So these are reports, you know, nothing confirmed here, but it seems like Xbox is debating whether to put Call of Duty on Game Pass.
I mean, this makes sense to me. Like, they have so many people who buy it robotically.
Yeah.
Like, why would you then give up all of that revenue? Because it's got to be tens of millions, hundreds of millions. Like, if you have like the one product on your system that you're like, oh, it's going to sell 3 million copies, let's give it away. It just doesn't really make sense.
Right. And if you're not going to increase your Game Pass subs out of it,
right,
then where is the value? But also, Your marketing for Game Pass has been all of our first party games come day and date.
Yeah, so it kind of like, do you betray your own values? Like, what do you do? I can understand why it'd be a really tough discussion. There's got to be like a lot of math going on. So much math.
Yeah. So don't know what's happening there, but I would not be surprised if they're like, yeah, okay. Call of Duty is not on game. Like, we're bringing Call of Duty to Game Pass, but not whatever Call of Duty 2024 is. And then finally on the news side that I have here from Xbox, seems like development of that Perfect Dark reboot that Earl mentioned a little while ago isn't going so hot.
No.
Which doesn't seem surprising, honestly.
I mean, I should really look at this stuff before your podcast. Because when was that game and when was it announced that somebody else was coming to help with it?
So it was announced in 2020. The game was announced in 2020. And I believe in a year after that was when it was announced that Crystal Dynamics would be helping out on that game. This is the game from The Initiative, I believe, a studio that is still to date has never released anything. And Crystal Dynamics is, you know, they're under Embracer. They're not a first party Xbox studio. So who knows how that communication is going. This does not sound surprising, but well, it's unfortunate.
The thing that confused me about this rumor, not that it was troubled, but was, I think it was, they don't know what they want the game to be or what type of game it is.
It's an action shooter with a spy, like.
But that's like, it's a first person shooter. Well, it's a first-person shooter game, so you kind of have that baseline already. You know the character. It's big on. I don't. That was. I'm like, what are you missing? It's a very simple format. You have to modernize, yes, but it's not like rocket science. You're not creating from the ground up. It's, and I that was like, oh, man, that is that is fascinating. Like, what are they trying to do here?
Yeah, that's kind of what's scary, right? Is like Perfect Dark is an old IP, right? Like, the game came out on the N64. It then had a sequel on the 360. We know what Perfect Dark is. Like, write a new story featuring Joanna Dark. Have it be a shooter, like a kind of old school style arcadey shooter, like that, and go. It's not difficult.
She's also a spy. It's not even like you need to do like a super continuity heavy sequel. You could just put her on a mission somewhere and call it
exactly.
I mean, it's really modeled after James Bond. James Bond did not care about continuity for 50 some odd years. And that franchise is still going strong. It's like, yeah, put some techno. I mean, AI is a threat now. Put AI as a villain. Start at Mission Impossible. Have her get some fancy guns. Go at it. Shoot a bunch of stuff. I don't know. I don't know what they're missing here. Is it like, maybe they want like, is it going to be a battle royale? Like, I don't know.
No, nobody needs that. That's not what you need. Like, everyone knows what Perfect Dark is. Just deliver Perfect Dark. And I know game development is hard. Like, I get it. But how do you fuck up an existing IP that people know what they want out of it?
Well, I was going to say, we have seen a lot of people screw up a lot of IPs in our time. I mean, there was that
Never.
There was that terrible
I've always been perfectly satisfied with every game that I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, but yes, it is. But again, it's that, like, I feel like when you try to rethink these things too much, sometimes you end up in that issue. Like, when you end up, that's how you end up with a third-person action Bomberman game. That's how you end up with a Castlevania fighting game. It's like, none of this. Like, what is the core? What is the DNA of this franchise that makes you think this is what people want? Not what's been successful for it, but like, people want something different. Like Perfect Dark, it shouldn't turn into a turn-based RPG. It shouldn't be Mass Effect. I mean, it might be cool if they tried to do Alpha Protocol, but that's just me.
Yep, right. Just you.
But even there, at least, like, you have an existing framework that you can build on. Like, you put Joanna Dark into that world. It's now an RPG, like an action RPG. It doesn't play exactly like it, but like, it's just an adventure with the lady spy, the iconic lady spy. Like, what are we doing?
Nothing.
This is part of the problem, I think, that I'm seeing with Microsoft is like, they have all these IPs. You have tons of great IP to build games on, and we're not getting anything.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, it would be so much different if they were buying these studios and like these IPs and just using one or the other. I mean, just not here. Like, you get Rare. Like, Rare hasn't released an IP game since Perfect Dark? No, they've had to read something. Oh, Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts.
Rare hasn't done what?
An IP game. Like, they haven't done a Banjo, a Conker, they didn't do Battletoads, but that's one of their IPs. So I guess Battletoads would be the most recent one.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, look at, like, Rare has a ton of IP, and like, what are we doing with any of it?
Yeah. Or even, and again, I understand this isn't necessarily his MO, you know, kind of like what we were talking about before, you know, one kind of field of project is, but like, it's surprising that like Brute Force never got an opportunity again. Like, there's IPs that like, yes, it didn't work the first time. Different studio, you can try it again. It's a known quantity. And I'm not saying, but you can turn something that's like, nostalgia goes a long way, and I think people would give, like, again, I don't know why Brute Force came to mind, Brinks the Time Sweeper, stuff like the original Xbox generation, when you can do something with that with all of these studios you own. You just bought Activision, who, I mean, Activision's doing what they're doing with those people, but they also have several in-house platform makers. You own, I believe now you own Spyro and Crash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You have Conker, you have Banjo. I'm sure there's other, I mean, they have drinks. And I feel like there's another Microsoft, they, you know, you have Grab by GUIs. You have, like, make a platformer. You can have a studio, have a studio make a 3D platformer. Have a studio make a 2D platform. Did the people didn't they publish Super Yucky Tail?
They did. They, I don't think they own that studio or the IP, but yes, okay. They did. They did publish that.
Like you have okay. That's an extreme example, but you know you have again. You have all these IPs. I assume they. I guess they don't own Bungie anymore. But you had like shooters from the Xbox 360. You had random ass games. The fact that they kind of gave up on the Xbox Live Arcade branding, which was such a big part of like the indie boom of that era, and like they seem to be the ones who have fallen the furthest behind in that regard. I also don't think ID at Xbox rings off the tongue as well as that.
No, not at all.
Because like Arcade told you what it was. There's so many avenues where I think little things they could have done to improve or to kind of stick with it. Or, you know, even like Game Pass. You know, we joke, you know, it's best value in gaming. I feel like it's one of those things you subscribe to and you're on their socials. They don't really do a great job of marketing outside of that. If you aren't in the ecosystem, like I don't see Game Pass for shoes where it's like spend, you know, $15 a month and you get access to hundreds of games.
They don't do a good job marketing, period. I think that I wasn't going to bring it up, but this was something that kind of came up in our group chat. And I thought the comment that was posted there was dumb because the person was complaining that like a game that they loved was getting a sequel in 2 weeks, yet they hadn't seen any advertisement for it, so they weren't hyped for it. That's a dumb comment. Like,
yes,
if you are a fan of a franchise, like because like the publisher isn't advertising for it, you are not hyped for it yourself. That's dumb. But I do agree they are not marketing their shit. I don't know how big of a game Hellblade's going to be. I don't think it's going to be very big. But it was, you know, an indie darling. You would think you would see some sort of advertisements for it. Hey, we have, as you said, Earl, they haven't released any games. This is the game that they are releasing so far this year. And you're not telling anybody it's out there.
Like, I mean, it's an odd comparison because of the brands behind it. And again, because I know how my social media is, but I've seen more like posts and advertisements for the Paper Mario remake than I have seen for Hellblade. And I love the Thousand Year Door. It is still a remake of a 20-year-old game. And the fact that like, and again, it does not have like people, like you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be elaborate and grand, but I honestly, people were like, this game is out in like 2 weeks. I mean, that can't be true. Because I feel like I've not even marketed. I don't think I've seen previews for it. I'm sure there are out there, but I feel like I've just seen like nobody like hands-on previews, video impressions, or anything of the sort around it. And maybe it's not the type of game that does it, because I know the first game, which I still need to play, is very like, psychological and dealing with mental health in that regard, and it's probably not something that's easy to see in chunks. But you gotta do something to let people know that this is out. This right. is one of your big games for the year.
Or I think this is the criticism you could make of any of the big three, though. They're just not good at advertising. Any of them.
I would disagree with Nintendo and Sony to an extent, depending on the game. I think that Nintendo's very set in their ways, and we'll get to an example in a second. And I think that works for them because Nintendo embraces the very dorky middle brother, best friend from a sitcom and they lean into it, and I think it works for them. I would also say, and this might, you folks might notice better than I do, if you have kids and you watch Nickelodeon or Disney, it is almost impossible to avoid Nintendo commercials.
This is true.
This is a lot of games where there's no advertisements, and like I will watch sometimes the Tubi or Pluto have those commercials. I mean, that's those channels, and I'm like, God damn it! I think I've seen this Kirby commercial 10 times in a row now. I'm over this game right now. So Sony, I think Sony knows how to leverage their online audience to market for them.
Well, and they also, their big games, they get out there, they get in front, and they put it in front of people that, they'll advertise during football games. Like, I saw Spider-Man 2 commercials and God of War commercials during football games. Now, that, Microsoft, also the same. Like, you'll see occasionally, a Forza commercial or a Halo commercial. I haven't seen much recently from them, but
it's been ages.
They've had nothing to advertise.
Right, I think that's it. They aim for, and they also only aim for the really big stuff. I feel like you would see Halo advertised, but you'd never see the game from the company that was just shuttered. They never advertised that on a football game.
Right. Yeah. And I think the thing that happened, and I don't know when this disappeared, but you reminded me of it. We used to have those kind of all purpose system commercials where it's not necessarily advertising the game. Like Sony had that one where it's it's Kratos and Nathan Drake, and transition. Microsoft had that whole jump in campaign. That was what it was, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I feel like we don't have those commercials anymore. I feel like, Kevin from PlayStation, we don't have those anymore. We don't have the big, the on-broadcast commercials. We have, you do games, you do individual games or projects, and everybody else has to go with it. But to circle back real quick, because this was also news and just kind of fits into this theme, the reason I kind of separated Nintendo out as that dorky, weird, best friend, noodle brother thing is we had the announcement of Nintendo, Nintendo Championship, NES Championship, no, Nintendo World Championship, there we go, this week. And it's a 3-minute trailer where the first half, it's some background and talking to these people, and then it's this really goofy house party at the end. And I'm like, you know what? In that 3 minutes, not necessarily sold me on the game, but I got the concept, I got the understanding, I understand the historics of it. And you kind of have a game that's out in 2 months that you kind of set the table for. I'm sure there'll be previews and videos and stuff like that, but you kind of got everything you needed in that time. And I think part of what they've gotten really good at is because they tend to announce a lot of game kill stories, is that they can be up front right away with what these games are and tell you what it is in a package. And then what they would do is dole out little snippets on social media and YouTube. Then they'll do their overview trailer, which is 5 minutes. Here's the new feature stuff. And I think that works for them because you kind of have a much more truncated hype cycle. This game's out in July. That's, I think, 2 weeks? Not 2 weeks, 2 months from now. So you don't need, it's also not a game that I think needs more than two. I don't think it needed 2 months, but it's a commercial, it's a reveal, it's a trailer all in one. And I think it kind of harkens back to how they revealed the Switch. The Switch reveals were under 5 minutes, but it was enough to satiate a lot of people, get a lot of people intrigued and curious and wanted more information. And I think sometimes that's all you need. And then you can do the giant commercial rollout later on. Also, that game, I have NES Remix. It's not NES Remix. This seems more like time trial based and stuff like that, which is not my jam. But I am going to say, I'm a sucker. I think I'm going to get that special edition, or the physical edition, I should say. They want that gold card and those postcards, which is nothing, but I'm like, it's cool. And
Will's a sucker.
What is the cart? Isn't there's the no card, there's nothing in it.
It's just
a cool gold looking Nintendo Entertainment System cart. Okay,
like, I think it's an actual replica of what they gave out to the winners back in the original one in 1990.
Got it.
The Japanese one is slightly better because you actually do get two functioning Famicom controllers with it. It would have been nice if you got like one NES controller here. There's no but. It would have been really nice if we got one of the NES controllers there. But we also are very much in that. Again, I have NES remakes on the Wii U 1 and 2. But we're kind of very, like, that to me seems like we're kind of in the Nintendo, like, just put something on a disc. Era where it's like, purely that just like, okay, the Switch, like, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to have Princess Peach and Endless Ocean, I think, this year, and then almost everything else is a remake or this very tiny game. Like, Odyssey, when I saw it, I just assumed it was like an NSO bonus and not like an actual game they're releasing. Because it's just taking parts of NES games and like reach the end of a Mario level in like 5 seconds is not a game. I don't care how many of these things you bundle together.
150 of them. So
yeah, it's over 13 games, which means like each game gets like 10. Or I guess.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, a lot of it's gonna make, you know, kill these enemies as fast as possible, get a high score. But again, I will give them credit for this. At least for once, it's reasonably priced for them. It's only $30. I think $20 would have been reasonable, but it's not $50 or $60 for the game. So,
oh, okay. So the special edition is $60. I'm like, but that's showing $60 right here, but that's the special edition.
The physical edition, because it comes with all that stuff. The actual.
Got it. Okay.
So, and then the physical edition will be a limited edition. And unlike most other places, like if Nintendo has a limited edition, I'm assuming you'll see it once and never again. So I do want to pick that up as well.
Yeah.
But yes. Was there anything else this week? I'm sure there was other stuff this week, but
News-wise, I'm drawing. It was a lot of Xbox stuff, which I think we've covered all of. I don't know if there was anything else from Sony, or I mean, there was the rumor that I guess Sony is going to have a showcase.
Oh yeah,
soonish.
Soonish. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, I've only half been paying attention. Somebody said that came out between the Drake and Kendrick Lamar stuff, and I'm like, oh, that is a weird way for that to be released, but okay. Oh, yes. We were going to come back to this. I think we had talked about it in passing. But Warner Brothers Discovery, a lot of people had their financial calls this week. But they came out and called Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League a disappointment. Part of
shocked. Shocked.
I don't. You know what? Even if it's a disappointment, where the hell is my sale? I need this to be like $20 yesterday.
This is let's make it even more disappointing by not allowing people to buy a game at the price that it should have been released at.
Yeah.
At least you could recoup some of your money that way, right? Like, you're making something. Right now you're not making anything. I would probably, like, you sell that for $20, I might be with you, Earl. I might buy it as a curiosity.
There definitely is a price point where I'd be like, I might try that.
Yeah, I would try it with some friends for that price. Yeah, I'm not gonna try it for $60 or $70. I don't know what it is.
Absolutely no. Not. No.
Yeah. Game Pass, I'd also be down for that. I'm not picky. $20 a Game Pass. That's
I mean, free is great because you know you're already buying Game Pass.
Yes, unless
you've quit Microsoft by now.
They do have a history of because like I think what Gotham Knights hit Game Pass a year after that came out or 6 months after, so maybe it will. And then we won't want it to pay $20.
I don't think this game is going to survive another year.
That's true. I don't know. I have a $20 joke budget, so if it drops to $20, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. I have not paid it. I got that AEW Fight Forever game for $20 recently. I'm like, yeah, I will put my money where my mouth is when the money's very cheap.
I will buy that thing and support them when it gets cheap enough.
Yeah. Yes, it's either make a good game or make a cheap game. You can't make a bad, expensive game.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, plenty of them do. It's just, it's not going to make you a whole lot of money doing it that way.
Yeah.
I see that game you guys mentioned, Little Kitty Big City, is out.
Yeah, it is. It came out today.
Yeah, so. You guys let me know how that goes.
You don't want to play it, like, all the time?
I think the name is neat. I don't know anything about it, so.
Mm.
It's about a cat that gets lost in the big city and has to get its way back home.
I think I've seen that movie before.
Yeah, probably.
Normally it's about a dog, but...
Also, just in passing, Nintendo also revealed that they are going to have a June Direct, and that they will announce the successor to the Switch within the next 10 months, I guess. By the end of the fiscal year, so...
So by March of next year.
Yeah. Though it had one of my personal favorite gaming is stupid on social media moments of the week, which is saying a lot for this week. There's been a lot. But it's like Nintendo posted this during their financial statement, and like Nintendo Japan posted it, then Nintendo of America posted it. And somebody, I'm sure it was more than one person, was like, oh, but no, in the original Japanese tweet, they didn't say this fiscal year, they said this quarter. So that means between May and June. And I'm just sitting here. Do you really think that Nintendo of America put the Nintendo of Japan statement through that Google Translated and not have it verified and did by like every person in the organization to make sure it specifically spelled out exactly what they meant? Like, are you saying that you think you know? Like, people are like, oh, it must be a mistranslation. I'm like,
or you're really dumb. That's also the possibility.
There are times when I know people work for a event. I know people work for an organization. You know the process here. There's not a statement that comes out of your job from the CEO.
Oh, God, that hasn't been vetted by like 17 different people from each department, because the CEO only knows a little bit about each part of the company. So they can't like speak on behalf of this giant group that does all of these things. They just, it's not possible.
Yes. And you're telling me that you do not think, you think that the CEO released a statement that Nintendo social media person just like Google translated and had one gear and error that one would still be up hours later. But I was just, it's one of those things where I'm like, I hate reading the comments, but I had to go through them, and people were like, oh man, okay, you might be onto something. And they were like quoting the message in response to other people, like, oh, I think there was a mistranslation. And I'm just sitting there being like, people cannot be that dumb or naive. Like, if you have to know how some of this basics work, there is no way in hell any company, especially a publicly traded one, is going to have a statement put out that is not verified and called out. Because Nintendo cannot be like, if they were to like this quarter and it comes out in like August, the stockholders would be upset come July. If they were to say this fiscal year and it comes out in April, the same thing. They know exactly the time frame. And again, I don't think it's going to be March. It's going to be this year. They're just covering their asses. And I also think that just, you know, give people an element of surprise. And they also want to clarify that it won't be at the direct in June. But I saw that. I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I know we've lamented how much Elon Musk buying Twitter has been awful. But I feel like it's hit the nadir in recent weeks for me, because I feel like almost every other post on that site now is like some form of engagement farming where it's like I have to find some way to piss off people. Or it's like one of those, and I've done it, but it's like one of those like, oh, here's a prompt, send me stuff. And I feel like we've hit the AOL chainmail phase of social media.
Yep, we're there. We're living in it right now. And you're 100% right, Earl, that like there's just like the engagement farming, either the rage bait or you know what you call it, the AOL chainmail. The rage bait stuff is super frustrating because it's like you pulled this shit 3 months ago with the Microsoft stuff. And like you're burning your Xboxes and bullshit, and now you're back to doing it again. Like, what are we doing?
It's not even. I wish it was just video games. It's everything.
Yeah.
And I've caught myself several times this week because there's been times where I saw a tweet or something, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna. And I started typing. What am I doing? I'm almost 40 yep. years old. I do not. I. This is stupid. You have an opinion. So be it. Like they say, opinions like asshole, everybody has one, yours doesn't stink, whatever. It's insufferable though, because it's like, oh, am I the only one who thinks this fantastic-y, this critically acclaimed movie or game's awful? It's like, maybe not, but why? Like, you don't have to share every miserable opinion you have on social. No, sorry, I mean, I say social. You don't need to share every miserable opinion you have in general. Not everybody wants to hear it. Find your circle. You know, if you want to jerk off to anime characters in video games, find a Discord and lament that, you know, they put on an extra layer of cleavage for that. You know, if you want to complain that somehow, you know, not all the people in Hades are white, I'm sure there's white supremacy groups that you can, sorry, Greek. I'm sure there's white supremacy groups you can hang out in. But that was another thing I saw. I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm so over it.
Well, I did not catch that one, but granted, I like when the Xbox news hit this past week, I was like, oh, I'm out. I don't really need to read any of this shit.
I don't think any of us are massive PC gamers in that way, but Hades 2 entered early access this week. From everything I've seen, it sounds like early access is really stretched out. And I mean, Hades is a really great game, so of course, the sequel would be really good. But it was people complaining because. Hermes, I want to say, looks Asian, and then Hepatha, I think, the goddess of virginity or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a burly woman, and people were comparing her to like an anime chick who's like looks like she's jailbait. I'm assuming she looks like she's 12, but she's gonna turn out to be like 1,000 years old, and I'm just like, okay. Like, oh, I don't like it when Greek gods don't. I mean, Zeus turned into a swan to fuck people. Why are you complaining that they don't look white enough for you? These people took on any form they wanted to.
Yeah. Fucking idiots. I will play Hades 2 when that comes out. Like, when it really comes out.
Yeah. But,
I don't think I'll buy into the that first one. You're right. Great game. So, and those people are dumb for, I'm upset that the Greek gods are not pasty white people. Like, gives a fuck. They're all fake.
That's right. These fictional things. How dare they not look exactly how they've, like, it's fiction. Fucking picture it in your own brain and go away. We don't need to hear from you.
Somebody else, moving on. It's just insane. And I mean, this is as sorry, I'm just looking at this now. This has nothing to do with anything video game related. I'm just hoping this is not true though. Because I hope this is not true. It's like they're doing a Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory reality TV show for Netflix. And I'm just like, I feel like this is like when they did the Squid Games. It's like, did nobody get the message of the products they engage with?
No.
Oh, they never do. Dumb people do not understand anything.
I also do not... I, what do you make a Willy Wonka Rowdy TV show about?
I don't know.
If you can't murder people with candy on TV...
That'd be fantastic.
It would be great entertainment, but I think it would be illegal. Like, if that's the case, I'm there day one.
Right? I'm all for murdering people on TV.
So...
We injected you with that blueberry stuff, and you blew up. Look at you explode all over everything. Good work.
I don't know exactly how this plays out, but one of the things here is like that it could be like a cooking type show where you're having them create candies.
I guess you need Willy Wonka.
You don't need the branding though. Like
yes,
like those types of shows are great by themselves. Like what is my wife and daughters watched like the holiday baking championships or whatever, like where they're just like a tournament where, you know, you eliminate one each week and it's neat. Like they always making like cool cakes and shit.
Like
and
the Great British Bake Off. I love that show.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's like the most peaceful show. Makes me feel good inside. Hey, that people
you don't need the Willy Wonka branding to like have a candy making show.
Again, like the whole point of Willy, I need people to be murdered by candy. If you're not giving me that, do not produce this show with Willy Wonka's branding. That's all I'm saying. If some kid is not being ballooned up or turned purple or drowning in a chocolate river, I don't know what we're doing here, America.
Agreed. All right, I think that's it for news. Did you guys play anything this week?
Well, I mentioned Evil West already.
Yeah.
And then real quick, an oldie but a newie is I downloaded the Vampire Survivors DLC because I think the... I forget what it's actually called, but they had the Contra DLC that dropped this week.
Operation Guns, I believe.
Yes, that would make sense. It's the first DLC I bought for the Vampire Survivors. So I didn't know how it works. It looks like you have to unlock the characters in some fashion. So I have to do that.
I think you probably have to play you have to select the map and once you complete it, then you'll unlock like characters and then you play as a different character and unlock more.
Yeah, which I got. I thought with the DLC, like you would get one Contra character because I wanted to try a Contra character. But I did try to stage and it's very fun and because they were able to bring a lot of Contra elements into it. Like they had the enemies and stuff like that. And then they have, you would think after like 30 years, I would actually know what the capsules are called in Contra. But you know, the little things that float overhead that drop the weapons. So they float on top and then you can destroy them for like minor, like there's one that will clear the screen of enemies. There's like one that, there's no other way of saying this, because I think it's true, where you shoot fire out your ass. So you run around and and stuff like that. You know, they have the enemies. The one thing I will say I was surprised by, and maybe I've just not played all of Vampire Survivor, is I feel like the Contra map was more, not confined, but more disconnected than other maps. And like there are places you can go where it ends up being a dead end. Or like there will be places where it's like you can't cross the water, or there's different elevations that you have to get to, so you can't like there's certain parts of it where you have to figure out how to get onto a second level.
So the elevation sounds new, and I did not play the second paid DLC, but I played Legacy of the Moonspell, and they did have like areas where like you could back yourself into a corner. Because it was actually, it's like an actual map. Like it's instead of just
as far and ever growing. Like to be fair, I usually ended up going in a circle in some of the original maps because it's easier to pick up gems that way. But this one, and I think, and because like the first thing you do, they pointed me towards arrows. So I, when they were pointing the arrows, I'm like, oh, this might mean like this, like, because I know there's stages where like, you have to find something on the stage, so not characters. So I was following the arrows, and I just ended up in a part where I crossed like the Contra Bridge and stuff, and it was really cool. But then I got to a point where I'm like, oh, I need to like there was like the chest and other stuff that dropped on the other side. Because even though you can't cross it, like your weapons and stuff can still do it. So you can still attack and kill enemies across the way, depending on what you have equipped. I'm like, oh, I want to go and kind of go and get the chest or go and collect stuff. And it was like, oh, I can't cross the water. Oh, I can't go here because this is higher elevation. And I ran around for like 5 minutes, like, how the hell do I? And then it's like, oh, there's like a little path you can go up. And then there's parts where, again, Contra. So there's like jungle-y parts, which don't like they're the outskirts of it, like enemies can come through and stuff like that, and then there might be one or two paths you can find where you can work through. But it also just reminded me of like how really fun and chaotic Vampire Survivor gets, and I want to go back and kind of get into the groove of that. But I was just kind of getting frustrated because my runs would finish. Part of it was me just getting greedy and cocky near the end and just forgetting that, like, sometimes it's better to hyper-focus because I think I was having, like, I had, like, the onion, the garlic, I had, like, the Bible, I had, like, lightning, I had fire, I had the knives, which is all great, but it means that, like, none of them were, like, super powerful. And it's better to, like, focus on, like, three or four of them than having, like, 16 different powers that is all hidden basic levels and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you want to get them and then get the thing you pair it with to
upgrade. Get that extra. Yeah.
I am sure I have not played in quite some time. I am sure when I jump into this one, I will be in the same boat as you, trying to like relearn how to play and make good runs again. But
yeah.
glad it seems fun though.
Yes. Oh yes. And I even though I mentioned the controls before, Evil West, I'm still kind of having fun with. I still think there's too much going on with the controls. Way too much going on with the controls. But what I found I find some of the bosses are just damage sponges.
It's
kind of tedious after a while. I guess games are designed that way, but there's so many bosses where it's like, if you're not attacking them in a very specific way the game wants you to, you are sitting there for like half an hour trying to whittle away at their health.
Yeah, and the bosses in particular with that game, because like you have all these different weapons, but it's like you really need to like be using your electric charge to shock them to get them stunned so you can take off a good chunk of, but I don't want to get close to them. Right.
Yeah. But you need to get close to them so you can be able to kick them to break them out of their special attacks. And it's like, oh, you want to make sure your gun's reloaded, even though there's no reload button. So like when they go up to do like their aerial attack, you can shoot them in the stomach in time for them to drop health orbs. And what's this? Here's like 10 random enemies that you now have to deal with as well, who are all super annoying because it's the one thing that shoots the orbs that throw up on you. And what's this coming down the way? It's the werewolf you can't shoot, so you have to engage in melee combat, but you don't want to engage in melee combat because the other things can hit you from behind. How fun!
Yeah, so that's what I was complaining about last week when we were talking about it. It's like the last three levels, it starts the game, and other games do this too, but it's like, We're gonna drop a real boss on you, and then hey, remember those sub bosses you fought? We're gonna drop two of them in. And then when you kill one of them, we're gonna drop two more in, and plus like horde enemies chase you. Like you're gonna have the vampires, the zombies, the werewolves. We're gonna have this weird thing that flies around and shoots you, but it's not like the little bug thing. It like needs more specific. It's like I had fun through like 3/4 of that game, and then I hit the end. And
why are you ruining it? Why? Yeah.
I'm wondering if it would be better or worse in co-op, because at least with co-op, like when, because you can pick up your teammate, and I think when you pick them up, they get like some most of their they get half health back. So it's easier sometimes to engage in that way, where it's like it is sometimes frustrating, but I sometimes can just run around the map, and it does not, it takes probably 2 seconds to get your teammate up on like other games where you're sitting still for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So some of that might help, but again, it is just so much going on. You mentioned the electric stick. I'm like, oh, right, right, right. We got the electric stick. Oh, right. We have the electric shield to parry with. Oh, we have the electric whip to pull people. Oh, right. We have the electric whip. We get pulled towards people. I'm like, I forgot all of this. And I was just doing it by accident. I'm like, oh, right. This is the thing that's in the game I need to remember to do. So, yeah.
Tony, you play anything past week?
So much Fallout 4. Oh my god, it's so good. I never, like, my first playthrough, I have more hours now in my second playthrough than I did in my first playthrough. But my first playthrough, I never got to any of the, like, sub, like, faction campaigns other than the Minutemen. So now I'm playing through, like, the Brotherhood of Steel stuff. And there's just, like, so much more content. There's, like, a bunch of other campaigns that I never even touched. This game is so huge. And I feel so bad for myself. Like, why did I give up last time? I don't understand why I stopped playing. Because there's so much to do, and there's so, it's so interesting. I think the one thing, though, that I remember from the first time through, there are so many buildings when you're, like, walking through the map that are just, like, boarded up and you can't go inside and explore.
Yeah.
It's just that bit, like, really turned me off. But
especially
now, like,
if you're in like power armor or something, you should be able to bust
like
down
I should
that
be able
door.
To bust through and see what's inside. Like, plywood's not going to stop me from punching through within my
right.
Brotherhood of Steel power armor. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. But I will say, like, it seems like they've fixed some of the things that annoyed me in terms of the settlements, because I feel like the first time through, once I'd built a few settlements, I spent, like, my entire time playing, running back to the settlements to fulfill their needs and to, like, save them from being under attack. And that seems to happen so less often now. Like, they reduce the frequency of that stuff. So, like, that's I feel good. Like I could actually, like, play the game and walk around and explore and, like, do the things that you're supposed to do in a Fallout game as opposed to just, like, managing your settlements the whole time.
Right.
Which is great. I'm really enjoying that. The other thing, I brought this up last time, like the walking around in the power armor.
Mm-hmm.
I think last time when we talked, I had 12 spare fusion cores while I was walking around. Right now I have 26. So that number keeps going up. So I feel pretty good about just walking around in my power armor always.
That's so good. Yeah. Yes. So, like, you don't have to worry about it losing power. And
yeah, and I now have 3 separate sets of power armor. Like, one of them, the one that you initially find in the game, like, they kind of just throw at you. That sucks. That you can make good with crafting.
Mm-hmm.
I have is really good. There's one I just found, which apparently I found is part of the DLC. It's one of the, there's like a robot DLC where you can find this one particular power armor that's super good. And there's another one in the, if you do the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, that they just give you that's also quite good. So, power armor everywhere.
Good.
I like it.
I did not play anything new, but I did get Game Pass running on my Steam Deck. And that's neat. It's the, you know, it's same as if you're running it off a phone or a tablet. It's a streaming, but it's neat to just like pop open. You open like the little app. It keeps you signed in, and I booted up Starfield, and it just worked. I'm playing Starfield on a handheld, like,
that's
really
awesome.
Neat. Weird thing about it though was like it inverted my Y axis, and I thought, like, I didn't think anything of it on the system level at first. I was like, it's fucking weird. Like, maybe I did something weird with my settings previously, or maybe Bethesda does things like backwards, and I don't remember from the last time I played Starfield or Fallout. So I like inverted my Y axis so I could, you know, have it work properly. And then I booted up Madden today while I was on lunch to just like see how that runs. And it was still reversed.
Oh no.
Like, this is fucking weird. Like it's because on a system level, for whatever reason, the controller profile that they have set up for Xbox inverts the Y axis. So
that's insane.
I did it from you can go to a, like system preferences and remap all your buttons. And I was like, I remapped the Y axis so it's not inverted, and now it works fine. Like it's like wild. It's like I'm pressing down, and when you score a touchdown in Madden, like it brings up that like little like, hey, here's the four celebrations you can do. And I was like pressing down and it was pressing up. It's like, that's fucking weird. You don't really need the right stick in outside of like the swim move in Madden to. It's like you don't really use it as a camera. You use the left stick to control your character. And unless you're doing like the precision throwing, the right stick doesn't do a ton. I guess the hit stick, is that that what it does too? I guess it's a hit stick. Yeah, so that might be why I wasn't hitting anybody.
That would make sense.
But yeah, so I changed it from the system side and now it works perfectly, and that's really neat. Like that, you know, you can just boot up and stream your Xbox stuff directly to your little handheld with minimal issue. So the Steam Deck turnout, it's a really cool thing. I wish that Microsoft would find a way for you to be able to cloud stream your actual library, not just Game Pass games, but might be wishing for a little too much. That's it. I think it's everything for the week. I'm going to play a little bit of that Operation Guns this week, Earl. So we talk a little bit more Vampire Spires next time around. Hellblade is in 2 weeks, so I don't think any of us will be touching that until then. But yeah, I think got a lot going on here. Hopefully, Microsoft doesn't close any more studios down the next week. And
never know.
I'm sure that something bad will happen in the industry because it seems we go barely a week without hearing about new layoffs. But let's hope everybody keeps their job for the next week or so. Earl, say goodnight.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tradition of all ages, Santa Claus is real, so have a good night.
Santa Claus is not real.
Dies in Sander. Dies in Sander. Jesus.
All right.
Save your children from the lies, that's all.